favor?
Oh, that one you're stealing.
Yeah, it's from Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Did you get it? Okay. Okay, so now, let's take some time and talk about retirement accounts, regular accounts, annuities. Because you got to put your money somewhere, right? Yeah. Now that we understand about their investments, where are we going to do? What are we going to do with them? Well, there are two types of accounts, and some of you may have seen this, but it bears repeating. There are taxable accounts, or sometimes called regular accounts, or just an account. When you go open an account at the bank, they're not going to ask you, unless you specifically say, I want a retirement account, a Roth IRA, or something like that. They're just going to assume you want a regular checking account. And then there are what the IRS calls tax-qualified accounts, of which we're just going to take a look at retirement accounts. But there are others, medical savings accounts, health savings accounts, educational savings accounts. And they differ in a subtle and not-so-subtle way. The first difference is, and I'm sorry, I'm not that autistic. I'm not that artistic thing of art. This is supposed to look like a bucket, right? This is supposed to look like a bin. And what you can put inside, what investments inside, is the first major distinction. In the regular taxable account, there are no limitations. You can do anything. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, cash, short-term investments, real estate, options, shorting, margining, futures, they all go in a regular account. Now notice that there are far fewer choices in the tax-qualified, in the retirement accounts. Stocks are dangerous enough, folks. All right, look at Netflix. And I forgot to show you. We're down to what? Did I show you? I forgot to show you. Let's see how we're doing. Not that good, as I remember. 1.5%, folks. We were up almost 13, weren't we? Yeah. Netflix. Who? But look at Coke. Coke and Apple, of course. Anyway, I'm sorry. There's Apple. You see Coke? Second one from the bottom. K-O is Coke, yeah. Okay. For new... GD, can't expect that much from GD. Okay, so the Congress is saying, no, you can't do shorting, you can't do options. Actually, there's one options transaction that's allowed in a retirement account, a covered call, because you can't lose a lot. There are also no limits to contributions in the taxable account. You got $1 million? Put it in the regular account. But there are strict limitations on any contributions here. Roth IRA, IRA, $5,000. 401k, $17,000, which is a lot of money. But they don't want people who are very, very wealthy putting everything into their retirement account. And then, with a regular taxable account, you're going to pay taxes every year. Whereas with a tax-deferred account, a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, 401k, you either do not pay taxes now and then pay taxes later in retirement, or you pay the taxes now but then don't pay any taxes in retirement. So you see the differences? Yes.
So on this one, there's a retirement account, there's a strict limit on how much money you can put in?
Right, per year. Depending, there's a few different options. The 401k and the 403b, $17,000. So think about it, folks. You know the power of compounding. If you're married and you both have a job, one of you can live off the income of one person and then put the other person's salary, or pretty darn close to much of all of it, into the 401k. Do it for 5-10 years in your 20s or 30s or something like that. And then you'll never have to put another dime away. I mean, it doesn't mean you shouldn't, but that's one option. You with me? Here they are. Here are all the different types. And they're just, this is not just all, and there are many. The 401k, the 403b, very, very important. Why? Because the traditional defined benefit pension plans are disappearing. And so the chances are that you're going to work for a company that says, you know what, we don't have a pension. We have a defined contribution plan. And we're going to, let you put money away. In fact, we might even match it. You might even, you put $100, we'll put $50, we'll put $100 maybe. And you get to keep that money. It's your money. When you move to another position, you can take it with you. But that's your pension. So don't screw it up. Traditional IRA for everybody, SEP IRA, simple IRA, KEO for self-employed. I love that word, KEO. Isn't that a great name? It's the name of a person, but it reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. I mean, some of you already heard this. You know, at the end of the movie, you're when they're in the witch's castle, and the guys are going, KEO. These all work by what's called tax deferral. You get a tax break now, you get to deduct the contributions from your income taxes, and then you pay tax in retirement. Now, the newer one is the Roth IRA, and that's why we call the old IRA the traditional IRA, to differentiate between the Roth and the traditional. The Roth IRA is for almost everyone. Actually, it's for everyone, but we're not allowed to say that. And now they have Roth 401ks, Roth 403bs. You get a tax break later. Individual retirement arrangement is the legal term, and the only people you're ever going to hear say that are the folks from the IRS. Everybody else calls it an individual retirement account. It's the most popular. It's been around the longest. It's now referred to as the traditional IRA, as we said, to differentiate between the Roth. Anybody who has earned income can contribute to a traditional IRA. It doesn't matter how much money you make. There's a lot of confusion. We're going to take a look at why. But if you make $1 million, you can put $5,000 per year into an IRA. Now, once you turn 50, you can raise that to $6,000. The contributions limits are increasing as inflation goes up, and the investment grows tax-deferred. You pay taxes on the money as you withdraw it once you're retired, normally after 59 and a half years of age. You can actually do it earlier, and you can wait as long as you want until you hit 70 and a half, and then you have to start taking the money out, and if you don't, you're going to get walloped with huge penalties. So I hate the way they treat seniors. When they made up these rules, people didn't live that long. So they figured, oh man, you got to start taking that money out and using it. But now people are living far longer, so they should really either get rid of it all or just raise it. And then there are so many different types, the 401k, the 403b, 407, 401a. Ooh, boy. Where do these names come from? The Internal Revenue Code. Right, exactly. And so we say to the IRS, we say, you know, that's a really horrible name, 401k. They say, oh, we got another name for it. We call it a salary deferral plan. Salary reduction plan. Isn't that what you want? To have your salary deferred, your salary reduced? IRS, you're so stupid. The SEP, the simple IRA, the simple 401k, the SARSEP for self-employed and small business, the KEO for small business, the Roth IRA, they all work very much like the traditional IRA, except for the Roth and the Roth 401k, and we'll take a look at the difference. So here's a 401k at work. You go to a job and they say, we got this 401k, and you know what? It's actually not a bad plan. Take a look at it. Would you like to contribute? Now they don't even have to ask you. They can, provided they do a certain few things that we talked about in Chapter 4. As long as they do a certain few things, they can automatically start taking 3% out of your salary and throwing it in there. But let's say you decide to put $100 a month away. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, and many people are, some people are lower, some people are higher, then the feds are going to write you a check for $25. Now, no. What do they do? What do? They take out 25 fewer dollars out of your paycheck. So you see your pay stub? You see the gross, and then you see the feds take the money out, and the state take the money out. Well, they'll take out 25 fewer dollars. And the state of California will take 6 or 8, depending on your tax bracket. They don't match. And so the state of California, let's say, takes 8 fewer dollars. So you get a government subsidy of $33. You put in $100, and you see your take-home pay only reduced by 67. Now, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Especially, think about it, what happens if they match? If they take, for every $100 you put in, your company puts in $50 for you. That's free money. That's 50% return of your money in one day. Who's going to give you that? The company gets not to have to pay you a pension when you're old and frail. Because the companies don't want to do this anymore. Why? Because people are living far longer. And it used to be that people retired at 62 and died at 64. And now they're retiring at 62 and going back to work at 64 because they're bored or their spouse kicked them out of the house or they've got a great idea. And living to 90. Yeah. Not anymore. Well, some of them still do, but most of them are saying, we don't want this. That's why they're happy to give you $100. The ones that, when you signed up and gave you a traditional pension plan, yeah. But many of them are going to their employees and saying, would you like to take the cash right now? Here you go. It's signed right here. And they will give you a lump sum payment. So that they're off the hook now. And the reality is, folks, if you use the concepts that we've learned here to prudently, consistently invest, you have the opportunity to do far better than a traditional pension plan. But you also have the opportunity to really screw things up. Right? Because you remember the drill where we had the real aggressive growth all the way to the money market and the person puts it all into the aggressive growth only to watch the market 30% go down and then they move it to money market to watch the market go back up 50% and then they put it, you understand? Or what is more typical is they just don't bother. They don't bother to put the $100 a month away because they're living their life and retirement's 40 years, what I got to worry about? Retirement's 30 years, what I got to worry about? Retirement's 20 years. Better start thinking about this. Can't do it. The kids are in college. You understand? Then they're 55 years old, and they go, I better get started. You know, she laughs. It's kind of, but it's not, this is what a lot of boomers are looking at. So the whole $100 goes into your account, but your take-home pay is only reduced by 67. What's the catch? There's always a catch. Well, it's actually not fair. You pay income tax on the amounts withdrawn in retirement. So you get a tax break now, and then later on in retirement you pay taxes. But this is cool because people are normally in a lower tax bracket when they retire because they're not working. Right? And if you're not, if you're in a higher tax bracket, congratulations. Why? Because you're rich. You know, you're taking out tons of money out of your 401k. You got some, maybe some rental property or whatever. And so congratulations. I hope all of my students have that terrible affliction in their golden years. I certainly am looking forward to having it, hope. You with me? Understand? Yeah. And if you withdraw the funds before retirement, what are they going to do? They're going to hit you with a penalty. They're going to take the income tax plus hit you with a 10% penalty. Now, there are some exceptions. First-time home purchase, medical emergencies, sending the old twerps to college. There's exceptions for that. You still got to pay the income tax. But this is why people who they've lost their job and they maybe have 20 grand in their 401k, they figure, oh, I'll live off of that for the next year or so. And then they go to take it all out and they wind up with 12 grand. Because 8,000 went to taxes. Are you with me? Understand? Yeah. So this is money. You kiss it and you send it on its way. And it'll come back to you in 30, 40 years. Had your head yet? Well, you know. What are you going to do? You can kiss by a bus tomorrow. It's game over. You don't worry. Now, what about the Roth IRA, the Roth 401k, the Roth 403b? No tax break now. You put in $100. What do you get from the feds?
No.
What do you get from the state of California? Nothing. Yeah. So your disposable income, your household income is reduced by $100. So why would you want to invest in a Roth IRA? Anybody know the answer? Yeah. Here's the real answer. People say, why are you investing in a Roth IRA? You say, because a Roth IRA is so cool. Yeah. Is that what you do? So cool? Okay. Tax-free in retirement is a golden opportunity. There are, people come up with these far-fetched situations, but normally, apples to apples, no other investment choice comes close. I think they're going to get rid of them. 20, 30 years from now, they're going to say, okay, no more. You're in the pool. You can stay there, but nobody else in the pool. Plus, this is the cool part. You can withdraw contributions at any time without any penalty. Well, that makes sense. It's your money. You already pay taxes on that. Right? You pay taxes on the $100 that you put in there or any other contributions, so you can pull that out. IRS says, cool, no taxes, no penalties. So this makes the Roth IRA also an excellent account for intermediate term. Saving for a house, saving for college. Did you fill out a FAFSA form? Yeah? Did they ask how much was, how do you say it?
FAFSA.
I thought it was FAFSA. It's F-A-F.
F-A-F-A.
No, it's F-A-F-S-A. I know, everyone says FAFSA, but it's FAFSA. Who cares? Did they ask you how much was in your Roth IRA or your parents' Roth IRA? No, they don't. Not in the Roth IRA. Now, if you're going to go to a private institution, if you're going to go to a university where they have where it's private, they'll usually ask how much is in your Roth IRA, and they say give it to them. But they're going to ask you how much is in the 529 plan or the UTMA or the educational savings accounts. But they currently, as the law stands now, do not look at the Roth IRA. So that's very cool. But now let's see if you can follow me on this, because we voted for these people. But we're not supposed to say that a Roth IRA is for everyone, even though they are. There are limitations on the contributions. If only single taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of $110,000 or less and married couples with an adjusted gross income of $173,000 or less in 2012 can fully contribute to a Roth IRA. And if you don't qualify, congratulations.
That's $5,000 for a single
person. Right. Right. You only put $5,000 in, but if you make over this amount, they start reducing it until you get to $120,000 and then zero. But wait, there is more. You can contribute to a Roth IRA anyway. Whether or not you know you're going to go over a limit, because you might not know, hey, I might not make that much, or maybe you do know. It doesn't matter. You can contribute to the Roth IRA anyway. And then once you find that you've made over the limit, you then fill out the paperwork to recharacterize. That's the word that IRS uses, the verb they use. You recharacterize the contributions into a traditional IRA, which does not have the same limitation. And then you convert the money back into a Roth IRA on the same day using the same paperwork. You don't believe me, do you? No, you recharacterize it to a traditional IRA. And you can leave it in there.
And then would you take the money out? It's taxed.
It'll be taxed because it's now in a traditional IRA. No, you'll get the tax deduction in that year. But you don't want to. You want the Roth. So you recharacterize it into a traditional IRA. You then convert it back into the Roth IRA. It's not a contribution. It's a conversion. And you can convert. There's no limitation on the conversion. Yes.
Okay,
how much for that? Nope. I know who voted for these bozos. We did. All right, so here's the contributions for 2012. $5,000 if you're under 50, $6,000 or more. And you can't open up five Roth IRAs and put $5,000 in each. Okay, folks, don't do it. You can only have $5,000, no matter how many Roth IRAs you have or traditional IRAs, you can only have $5,000 in aggregate. If you're married and your spouse doesn't work, you can still contribute on their behalf. So that's $10,000, even though the spouse doesn't work. Of course, if the spouse works, then they can have their own. And they're always even if you're contributing on behalf of your spouse, it's still her or his account. Okay, now the 401k, $17,000. And this is a lot of money, folks. I mean, for most people. So I don't know if you're going to want to do what I said about, you know, trying to get one spouse to work just for the 401k and one to work for the household. But if you made $17,000, you could put the whole darn thing into a 401k or 403b. And there's currently a loophole in the law that allows people in the public sector. I didn't believe this when it was 2002 when they started making this known to us 10 years ago. But we're allowed to double contribute, 17 into a 403B and 17 into a 457. Pretty amazing. I thought the Congress would have gotten rid of that by now. I'm sure that there's not many people taking advantage of it, but still, that's a lot. People at the top end. Now, if you do this, if you start putting money away, especially as you're not making a whole lot of money, you want to make sure that you know about the tax credit for low-income earners. Because, I don't know about you, but $57,500, that's not really that low for a married couple. I mean, that's a decent salary. I don't think anybody would be ashamed of that. $28,700 for a single person. So say you put in $50 a month. That's $600 per year. You may qualify for $300 tax credit on your taxes. You understand? Or maybe, you know, $60. It's 10, 20, and then 50%, up to a maximum of $2,000. So if you have somebody do your taxes for them, for you, make sure you, hey, I paid money to a Roth IRA, or I paid money to a 401k. And if you use TurboTax, it actually handles it very well. They say, did you put money into a Roth? And you say, yes, I did. And they say, great, you get a tax credit. If you don't take the credit, you think the IRS is going to call you up?
Nope.
And say, hey, you didn't take the credit. What? Yeah, no. And then we have what are called, we put them in quotes because the IRS doesn't call them these things, but everybody else calls them Roth 401k, Roth 403b. They're 403bs and 401ks which allow after-tax contributions. So your employer doesn't have to offer this. If they offer a 401k, they don't have to offer this option because it's more paperwork for them, more accounting work. But you have to be careful because although they look like a Roth IRA, they're not the same. Any employer matches are going to be pre-tax. So you have post-tax or after-tax money and pre-tax money in there. You have to keep track of how much is after-tax and how much is pre-tax. Because when you go to take it out, the IRS is going to say, okay, it's all taxable. You say, oh, no. I put the money and I pay taxes on it. Okay, show us. You have to, they call it your basis. You have to keep track of how much is you've paid taxes on. Plus, you can't take the contributions out at any time like you can with the Roth IRA. Remember the Roth IRA, you can take that money out any time? 401k, you can't, even though it's after tax. So I'm not a big fan of this. Unless your employer matches your contribution, then it's a no-brainer. If it makes sense for you, you don't need a tax break now, great. Take advantage of this because they're going to give you $100 for every $100 you put in. That's free money. Take advantage of that. And now annuities. Did we talk about annuities in here? I have my life insurance agent's license, so I can say nasty things about life insurance agents. They're going to try to sell you annuity. So just be careful. They sound so sexy. Wouldn't you like to have income for the rest of your life that you will never outlive? We're life insurance companies. We're invisible bankers. We've been around for hundreds of years, and we never go out of business unless there's some kind of hanky-panky. And if there is, the rest of the industry stops in and takes care of it. Annuities have options that include income for a set number of years, 20, 30 years, for as long as you live, that's the life income option, which is very, very tempting, or as long as you or in your spouse, a dependent, lives, if he or she outlives you. The amount you get is based on which of the above options you pick, how much you have contributed, how well your annuity investments have performed over time. There are two types, fixed annuities, which mostly invest in bonds, and variable annuities, which invests in bonds and stocks or mutual funds. The returns have not been good over the long term. Sometimes they do well, sometimes they don't do well. They can be funded with retirement dollars, pre-tax dollars, or they can be funded with after-tax dollars, so they have sort of one foot in both worlds. They can be pre-tax and post-tax, or either or both at the same time. The interest earned is tax deferred. You pay taxes on any pre-tax annuity contributions and all tax deferred earnings as you withdraw them in retirement. As with other retirement plans, when you retire, you're most likely be in lower income tax brackets. So, cool. The downside is that they have very high fees. We saw mutual funds with 1%, 2% fees, right? These things usually start with 2% and then go up from there. Because then they tack on, they charge you 1.5%, and then they tack on the 1% or 2% that the mutual fund company charges you. And so 3% sometimes, I'm not a big fan of these things. But if you become a life insurance agent and a stockbroker, you can sell variable annuities and make tons of commission. In fact, they send you things in the mail. They're pictures of the Caribbean cruises. Not for the clients, folks, for you. If you can sell these things, they'll send you on a 7-day Caribbean cruise. You'll make tons of money. I've never sold one. I don't think I will. So to review, we have regular accounts, tax paid every year, anything you want to do, shorting, margining, options, futures, pre-tax contribution retirement accounts, strict limitations on contributions, on investment options, and you don't pay taxes. Until you retire, tax, post-tax, same limitations on contributions and investment income, investment choices, and you don't pay taxes in retirement. And then annuity. Any questions, any thoughts? Okay, great. Good. Great timing.